Our gospel reading for this Sunday comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. And this will serve as the basis for our sermon. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do you not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still, you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." This is the gospel of our Lord. In our gospel reading, we find ourselves listening in on a very high-level conversation between two expert religious teachers. The one who's doing most of the talking is covering some pretty deep concepts, such as seeing the kingdom of God, being born again. He even mixes in the three persons of the Trinity. But the other top-level religious teacher is just lost. You can tell by the comments that there's a disconnect between the two. This Nicodemus just is not following what Jesus has to say. Honestly, we're probably a little confused ourselves at Jesus' train of thought. But there appear to be three key concepts at the heart of it all. Flesh gives birth to flesh. The Spirit gives birth to spirit. And the Son of Man must be lifted up. Nicodemus had broken the ice with some kind and pretty honest words. "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you were doing if God were not with him." But Jesus takes a sharp left turn and brings up some urgent and shocking news for Nicodemus. "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." Now, one foundational truth of our culture is the belief that everyone born into this world as a human being has rights. Every human being deserves respect and equal treatment. Every human being deserves a chance at living a worthwhile life. And everyone in our culture has this responsibility to give their fellow human beings the respect, the chance that they deserve. So doesn't it shock you when Jesus doesn't hold God the Father to those same rules? He says, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." Apparently, when a person is born into this world, they don't get any special rights in God's kingdom for just being human. In fact, they don't get to even enter or see the kingdom of God at all. Why? Well, when a baby is brought into the world from flesh and blood human parents, what does that make the baby? Flesh. Flesh gives birth to flesh. And apparently flesh isn't good enough for God. A person must be born again. But why is that, though? Why isn't this flesh we're born into good enough for God's kingdom? Well, for example, sometimes you wake up in the morning just feeling stellar, ready to do something just noble. But 5 minutes in, a comment rubs you the wrong way, and what happens? Blood pressure rises, muscles tighten, the tongue lashes out, and now we're mad at each other for the rest of the morning. That's flesh for you. Or when you've been asked a question and the true answer in your head, it just isn't really what people want to hear. After a few awkward seconds, your fight or flight response kicks in, and you have to say something, anything. Anything but the accurate truth. And we lie. That's flesh. Or when a person experiences a pleasant or exciting feeling, their mind becomes attached to it, sometimes so attached that they obsess over and even abuse that feeling until it evolves into a terrible habit. That is flesh. And flesh always gives birth to more flesh. Your parents had it, their parents had it, and they passed it on to you the moment you were conceived. But didn't God design us, body and soul? And if God made us, what could be so wrong with us that we need a complete do-over? That, according to Jesus' words, we need to be born again. Well, first of all, there is nothing wrong with what God makes. There would be nothing at all wrong with you or me, except that every good thing that God has given our bodies and souls has been infected with a nasty disease called sin. The disease is hereditary. You're born with it. Flesh gives birth to flesh. It's a disorder upon every human function you can even name. Humans don't love right. They don't think right. They can't even judge between right and wrong right. Flesh is all wrong. It's pure sin and completely unfit for being part of God's holy kingdom where He rules and loves and cares for people. No one can experience the kingdom of God unless they are born again, Jesus said, because flesh will only ever give birth to more flesh. What we need is to be born again from a completely different origin. We need another beginning from outside of this sinful world. Jesus says, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit." Spirit gives birth to spirit. It's as if he's talking about some entirely new, otherworldly being that we must become, born of the Holy Spirit, some being as mysterious as the coming and going of the wind, a child of God the Father, born by the power of the Holy Spirit. "But how?" asks Nicodemus, teacher of Israel. And frankly, we might be wondering the same thing. How can this be? How does this work? Flesh gives birth to flesh, yeah, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit? Jesus goes on. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. He's referring to the time when the people of Israel, led by Moses in the wilderness, were suffering from an infestation of venomous snakes. They had been rebelling against God again, so God showed them justice. But he also provided a way so that anyone who was bit could be healed. Moses was supposed to make a bronze snake on a pole and set it upright so that anyone bitten could look at it and be healed. Sounds incredible, but many people believed God's promise, and they did just that. And they were miraculously cured from the venom. Just like that, Jesus is saying, the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who looks to him and believes may have eternal life. The Son of Man. He was born of a flesh and blood virgin mother, and was conceived by the power of not a human man, but of the Holy Spirit. And so he was also the Son of God. And God the Father sent this Son of his into the world as a gift to heal and restore the disorder of the flesh caused by sin's venom. He was lifted up on a pole in a shameful but strangely glorious position where all flesh could see. And then the most heavenly phenomenon occurred. A Roman soldier looked and said, "Surely, this was the Son of God." And God the Father gained another child. And the Holy Spirit gave birth to Spirit. How can this be? Nicodemus had asked. And it's still a little hard to explain, but the phenomenon, Spirit gives birth to Spirit, this has been repeating and repeating ever since. It happens when poor creatures born from flesh with ancestries of rotten, sin-infected flesh going back as far as time, when these people look to the Son of Man lifted up on the cross in sacred scripture and believe, the Spirit gives birth to children of faith, not of flesh. And those who believe are reborn as children who know God the Son and trust him. And they know that God has forgiven them and declared them fit for the kingdom of God. That's what it means to be spirit. Being spirit means to be a believer in the Son of Man who was lifted up on the cross. And that cryptic saying, Spirit gives birth to Spirit, that's when the Holy Spirit causes a person to come to faith in Jesus. Just for another example, when a mother gives birth to a cute little baby, you know, what has she got in her arms? More flesh, just like her and dad, sin and all, because flesh gives birth to flesh. But then the parents take that little bundle of flesh to the baptismal font, and the baby is born again of water and the Spirit. And you can't understand it, neither can I, neither could Nicodemus, but that little baby believes in the Son of God. And the Trinity welcomes another soul into the kingdom of God. How could this happen? That you and I, who have already been born into this world as flesh, have been born again by the Spirit through baptism, through just hearing and believing the Word. Well, the best answer I've got is that it happened because the Son of Man was lifted up. And God promised that anyone who believes in him has eternal life. If you believe this, you are no longer flesh. You are spirit. You are born again. Born from above, born of the Holy Spirit. You are fit to see and experience the kingdom of God. That is, God's gracious rule over your heart, which begins here on earth and ends in everlasting glory. But somehow, Many Christians even often make the mistake of identifying themselves not as spirit, but flesh. They look at their sin, at their disordered feelings and habits. They look at all their disobedience to God's commands, their disobedience that just comes naturally. And they say, "That's me. This is who I am. I am flesh." To any Christian, though, who is tempted to think that way, Jesus plainly says it right here in our text. You're wrong. Sure, flesh gives birth to flesh, and that is why we struggle the way we do. Our sinful flesh clings to this body. It always will, this side of heaven. But the Spirit doesn't give birth to flesh. It gives birth to Spirit. The Son of Man was lifted up, and everyone who believes in him has been born of the Spirit, has eternal life. Why? When our Savior is so clear, would anyone who looks to the cross for salvation ever identify as anything other than Spirit? Why would they ever identify as anything other than a trusting child of God? A child who knows and loves the Father, who trusts in the Son, who receives the Spirit's guidance through the Word. Jesus may sound confusing in our gospel reading, but this much is crystal clear. God so loved this world of flesh that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him, flesh though they be, shall not perish, but have eternal life. Yes, flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit can and does give birth to Spirit. That was why the Son of Man was lifted up, so that we might believe in him and have eternal life. Amen.